So my background's in primary school teaching, and when we moved to Chingford, I started teaching teenagers who'd been excluded from school, but they also had special needs and behaviour problems, and it meant that they weren't able to be educated in any kind of formal educational establishment. And because they've got a lot of needs, they'd have a half-term target of maybe for the child to make eye contact twice in a session, or for the child to engage with an activity for 5 minutes, and so I'd be working towards these goals little by little by little. And occasionally I'd take the session outside and we'd maybe do snail races, or we'd go for a walk and do bird spotting and make a poster about the different birds we'd seen, or we'd do a fire and watch what happened as it burnt down. And I found that whenever we were outside, suddenly I'd hit those targets straight away. So I was thinking, what is this kind of magic about being outdoors? Is being outdoors some kind of magic panacea that's going to save the world? So I was Googling, and that's when I stumbled across the kind of forest school pedagogy model of child-led outdoor learning. I found this patch of trees behind a park and had a sign saying Low Hall Nature Conservation Area, and there's a path that was mostly overgrown, and there were people sleeping out and tents and dogs and needles and piles of human poo. But I was walking round the path, around the side of it, picking my way through all of this, and I was just struck by this bird song and all these butterflies, and I thought, despite all what you see when you look at it, actually this is amazing, and what a gift to have this little jewel of a woodland space. And I thought, wouldn't it be lovely to actually do something here and to make it possible for people to use it again? So I was trying to email the council, and they weren't quite sure what to do with my request because they didn't have a form for take children to go and play in this bit that everyone's using for other more nefarious means. And eventually they said, well, yes, you can, as long as you don't charge. So I started to run some sessions with the Friends of St James Park, and at first there was just a little patch of the woodland that was kind of usable. So I'd do a fairly comprehensive sweep and pick up the bits and make sure we didn't use those bits if they weren't usable today. And little by little, kind of people would be starting to come and play in it, and we'd be exploring the space and finding the bugs and mixing up our mud pies. And I think I just emailed the council so often that it kind of popped up to the top of their mind, thinking, oh yeah, well, I remember we've got this space of land that we own. But I think it's easy to forget if you're running a massive thing like the whole of a London borough, then you forget the little spaces, I think. And so they started sending in the grounds people from London, volunteers, and the community payback people, and they went and cleared big space right through the middle and chucked away all the mattresses. And so little by little, it's been kind of coming back into public use. And about a year, year and a half ago, I first started to notice that sometimes I'd turn up for when I was running sessions and there'd be dens built in the woods that I hadn't built. And I think that's quite exciting because kind of as the footfall increases, as people kind of aware it's there, and I'm getting people enjoying the space, playing with their children at the sessions I'm running for families, or maybe children coming with their nursery, and then they bring their parents back at the weekend or after school, and then they're able to enjoy the space. And as the footfall increases from that, that makes it a space that people are feeling more safe to use. There's some research that seems to show that if you have children kind of up to the age of 8, 9, 10, and you talk to them about climate chaos, you talk to them about plastics, you talk to them about global disaster, if you follow those children into the future, it doesn't affect what they do in their lives. But if you have children up to the age of 8, 9, 10, and you really push nature connection, and you get them with the dirt on their hands and looking at the plants and looking at the animals and enjoying it and loving it, that's what seems to make the difference. And those children grow up to become activists who have got a relationship with the world that they want to protect it because they love it. Me and my children facilitated a Friday school strike a couple of months ago because we'd gone down to London 1 month when they did one of the big ones outside Parliament, I didn't want to push it too far. The children were really keen to strike again, but didn't want to annoy the teachers. So I said, well, what about if we do it literally over lunch break? Because then it's not going to annoy anyone. I was really conscious that I didn't want it to be me orchestrating a bunch of children to say my message, which I think is very easy as an adult when you're used to being the one who's giving the orders. So I thought it was quite powerful. So we had the speaker and we just passed it on the children, and the only voices that were heard were children's voices.